welcome, everybody. Welcome to Celebration Weekend here at New Life. Yeah, you can cheer for that. Yeah, absolutely. We've been doing this for a number of years now, where we kind of take this last weekend of the year, and we look back on all the great things that have happened in the last year. We celebrate the Lord, and one thing, like Pastor David was saying, one thing we want to make very clear, that the Lord is responsible for it all right? We take credit for none of it. The Lord is in control, and I'd say we look back at these last 12 months, there's a lot of things that we have to celebrate Him for, and we're going to take a few minutes to kind of look off into the future a little bit and thank Him in advance. You know, I don't know if you do that much in your own personal walk with Jesus, but thank Him in advance for what He will do. I think it's a great thing to do. But you know, as I look back on 2023, we have had an incredible year around here. Would you agree with that? I think an incredible year, and we have so much to be thankful for. When you came in here today, you noticed this on your seat right here. Did you enjoy reading through that? I bet you didn't know a lot of this, did you? Somebody pointed out to me earlier, we do not have anything about the number of pizza slices that we've served around here this year. I think we have eaten a lot of pizza. But anyway, you guys enjoy that. All of this shouts to good things, and we are so thankful to God. Before we get too far into this service today, I'd like to just take a quick moment and thank Pastor John and Pastor Kyle and the entire worship team for leading us in just an incredible candlelight service last weekend. Was that not just fantastic? Absolutely. I look forward to that service every weekend, and I especially want to point out that during the worship time last week, the third song into the worship set was "O Holy Night," and I think it's like one of the best renditions or versions of that song you'll ever hear anywhere done in any church anywhere. It was just absolutely phenomenal. And so, if you missed that or you want to go back and enjoy that, you may not know this. You can go to the New Life YouTube channel, and all of our services and everything are always there. And the spot I'm talking about is right about the 15:30 mark, and I know that because I've been listening to it all week, okay? And I just love, it's a powerful song, and I think it's one of the best we've ever done here. You can also go to that YouTube channel, and you can watch the worship offering that our worship team gave on Christmas morning. Did you guys see that filtered through social media? If you missed that, that's on there as well. I encourage you to do that. But I want to not only commend Pastor John and Pastor Kyle, but also Pastor David and Pastor Eric and all the volunteers who came together last week to just put together just this wonderful, welcoming atmosphere here at the church. People passing out candles, communion, cookies, warm hugs and handshakes across 10 services across our two campuses. You all just really helped make so many guests to our church feel welcome and right at home. I know that as I look back on last weekend, I know there are plenty of folks here that were joining us that they don't have a church home. Maybe they're invited guests or family members, but a lot of them don't have a church home. Some of them are very curious about faith. Some of them don't know if they believe any of this stuff at all. And I just want to thank you because you really help make our church put its best foot forward, and so many of you. And I want you to know that that stuff really matters. It matters a whole lot. Being a friendly and welcoming church matters greatly, and you just did a fantastic job. I want to be really clear about something because we're going to throw numbers at you today and we're throwing some numbers at you. I want you to know that attendance numbers are not the most important thing to us around here. And I say that all the time, but I feel like I need to reiterate it all the time. But I know that many of you were curious by how many people came last week because I've been getting text messages and emails and phone calls. How many people came here last week for our Christmas services? It's not the most important thing to us, but I'm happy to tell you. Over the two campuses and the 10 services, we had just shy of 2,000 people walk through our doors last weekend. So that was pretty awesome. That was really awesome. Just for some perspective, that's 500 more than Christmas last year at all our services. So I don't know what that means for our upcoming Easter service. We'll figure that out, all right? I don't know what that means. But here's what I do know. I know that people are hungry for the spiritual. They really are. I know they're hungry for truth. I know that there's a lot of people that come into contact with every year that maybe they don't understand what the church is all about, what we stand for, that maybe don't understand what the Bible teaches, but they do understand something, and they can't put words on it, but we can help them put words on it, is that we are God's workmanship, that God has stamped himself on every single one of us in this world. And we and all of creation are covered with the fingerprints of God. And my personal conviction, and maybe you share this with me, that deep down inside of every single person, whether it's ever admitted to or not, there is a desire to connect with our Creator. There really is. And I see that in our community, and I when I see us have big services like we had last weekend, it reminds me that whether it's known or unknown, there is a hunger in there. And I do believe that God takes those kind of services and he uses those for long-lasting impact. God plays a long game, and we need to play the long game too. And sometimes it's investing after investing after investing, and one day the light bulb goes off. So thank you for helping us put our best foot forward. That's amazing. There's been a lot of good things over the last 12 months, and we get to celebrate it, but I just want to start off by saying God is good. And it's good for us to take some time as a church family to celebrate what God is doing. It is good for us as followers of the Lord to stand back with a little bit of awe in our eyes. That is perfectly fine. With some wonder and with some amazement, that is a good thing to do. To turn our eyes towards heaven and proclaim loudly, look at all the wonderful things you have done, God. That's a good thing for the church to do. And I don't think enough churches stop to do that. I don't think, but we're gonna be one that does. We're gonna stop and wonder. We looked at these verses in our last celebration weekend a year ago, but they're still close to my heart. I'll share them with you again. It's services like this that brings up like Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and 4. It just says this: there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Are you familiar with this verse? A couple verses later, it says it's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So you know, there is a time for everything, and there is a time to celebrate and reflect on God's goodness, his provisions, and how he's changed lives and all he has done. God gets the glory, and friends, I just want you to know that our settings, our default settings, should always be to reflect that praise back to God all the time. Look at the great things God is doing. You're right, God is doing some really good things. And I hope and pray that here at New Life, we will never, ever, ever lose what I just call a Psalm 118 mentality. Psalm 118 is one of those psalms that is a powerful one. It's a psalm of deliverance. It's a psalm about the eruption of praise that followed deliverance. And I want you to listen to just a few verses here. Psalm 118 verse 14 says, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done." That is a really powerful psalm, isn't it? A few verses later, it goes on and says this in verse 23, "The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." So friends, I'm here to tell you, I believe it's a good thing to celebrate what the Lord has done. And it is not difficult to think back of all the things he has done. It's not hard for us to look back over the last 12 months and to say, the Lord has done this, and let us rejoice, to let out some shouts of praise. I've already heard some today. To let victory resound in this place for the Lord. I look around and I am reminded constantly that the Lord has done mighty things, just like the psalm has said. So I want to ask you a question. Can you think over the last year of your life, think back over the last 12 months, whether it's been an answer to prayer or God opening a door for you or maybe even closing a door for you. Maybe the Lord made a provision when you didn't know how it was going to happen, or worked on your behalf, or touched your heart, or opened your eyes, or healed you in some way, or spoke through you, or guided you, anything like that. Can you think of at least one time the Lord has done something like that in your life over the last 12 months? And if you can think of something, would you raise your hand as a testimony and say, the Lord has done great things in my life, and I'm so thankful for what he's done. Amen. Let us shout with joy. Let the praise resound in the house of the Lord today. This is the day the Lord has made. Well, let me just tell you this. There are way too many things that, I would be here all day just listing off things to celebrate. I wanna highlight and point to some really big things. And the first one, I guess at the top of the list of all of our celebrations, is that we celebrated 75 baptisms this year here at New Life. And that's right. And I know that your card says 73. 74 or 75, all right? So we just washed 74 or 75. That happened after we printed the cards. As far as I know, this is the most baptisms we've ever had here at New Life in 1 year. And again, it's not a number that we celebrate. It's the life change that we celebrate. That's what we celebrate. 75 people this year have been in this church or come into contact with this church family in 2023, and they made a decision for Christ. They are people who said, I'm going with him, Jesus. I'm going with that guy. I'm gonna be in his team. I'm gonna be on his family. The Lord's doing a new thing in my life. I'm going with him. 75 people, and that's awesome. If you've been around New Life for a number of years, you know that a prayer that we have prayed around here often is that the Lord would stir our baptistry at least once a week. Remember we pray that a lot, we talk about that. And now for 2 years in a row, God has answered that prayer way beyond what we could ever imagine. Last year we had 71 baptisms, this year 75. So in the last 24 months, 146 people have made the decision to go with him, to go with Jesus. And that is fantastic, we celebrate that. Absolutely. It has to be the top of the list. Our mission as a church is that we exist to lead all people to new life in Christ. And this comes from Jesus' famous words in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, what did he say to his disciples on that day? He said, all authority under heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and do what? Make disciples. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Friends, we are called to make disciples, and I don't ever want you to take your eyes off that fact. Jesus told his disciples, his followers, to go and do what in this disciple-making process? You baptize them, and you teach them. That's what he told them. It's the primary functions of the church. I sometimes say it like this in my own words, that we are here as a church family to help people get saved and to help them grow and become more like Jesus every day. I think that's what Jesus was saying. It is the primary function of our church family. It should be the primary function of every church family. So when I look back and I think about these 75 decisions, I'm so thankful to the Lord for that. Becoming a Christian can happen like this. You realize that, right? Deciding to follow Jesus, becoming saved, like that. But it will take a lifetime of walking with the Lord to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Every single day, we become more and more like him. So when Jesus said, baptize and help him grow, teach him. We're all on this journey together. And when you strip it all away, that is why we are here. It is our purpose that this idea of disciple making is the foundation mission of the church. And if you ask me what we should celebrate the most, it would be those decisions. And I pray for even more every year. Here's something else I think we should be celebrating here at the end of 2023. We need to celebrate and we need to praise God for all the spiritual growth among our church family this year. A lot of spiritual growth. Let me tell you something, it is noticeable. I love hearing from you, what you're learning, and how you are growing in your walk with Jesus. And I would just say that from talking with so many of you over the last year, I sense, and I hear this a lot, I hear a common denominator, I hear a shared experience by many of you. And many of you in our church family, this shared experience is all about this resurgence in your walk with Jesus and your desire to know his word more. I hear that from you. And it's a part of what God's stirring in our church. If I could describe it like this, so many people in our church family, if they were a ship, it's like they've raised the sails and those sails have caught new wind here lately and you're sailing in a better direction than you've ever sailed before. That's what I sense a lot of our folks are feeling right now. I sense that a lot of folks are more excited about church than they've been in a long time. I feel like there's more excitement about God's word than there has been in a long time. I sense that a lot of you are looking for opportunities to invite your friends to church so they can experience something that you're experiencing. I sense that too. In my little over 9 years here at New Life, I don't believe I've seen a season where our church family was more hungry for God's word than I have in 2023. And that needs to be celebrated. I've talked about this a number of times over the last few months, but I am still blown away by how you all gobbled up those story Bibles. I really am. The last I heard, and I think that's what's printed on your cards, 823 of those have gone out, and that is amazing. And I'm still hearing from many of you on a weekly basis. You're sharing with me, hey, I'm on chapter such and such. This is what God is showing me right now. I never knew this. Man, I've already gobbled through it, and I've given my copy away. I hear that quite a bit. I hear this a lot too. You got any more? And that is awesome as well. We'll just keep stocking them, and if you want them, we'll just keep ordering them. And because there's just this hunger, there's this excitement for the word of God. And friends, if I could be of any encouragement to you today, let me encourage you with this. As we move forward into 2024, please do not lose that hunger and awe for God's word. Please don't. I promise you this, as your pastor, I will always give you my best to try and help keep the word of God, make it come alive for you, make it as clear as possible and understandable, to present the Bible as the exciting, life-changing, relevant, true word of God that it is. I'll do that, okay? I'll continue to do that, best I know how. And I want you to do something. I want you to promise that you'll always stay hungry for God's word, that you'll gobble it up, and that you'll allow God to use it to mature you each and every day, every man and woman, boy and girl in this church family, that you'll gobble it up and allow it to guide you into being the kind of man and woman that God has called you to be. Do you remember what God said to Joshua right before Joshua crossed the Jordan River? We looked at this a few months ago. First chapter of Joshua, verse 7, God told Joshua, be strong and courageous. That's why we called that series Courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it, from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Yes, he's talking about the law of Moses, but I would broaden that and say, if we just meditate and focus and stay committed to the word of God, we're going to be all right. As long as we as a church family never drift off the foundation of God's word, then there is nothing that this society or world or government will ever throw at us that will knock us down. Because our foundation isn't in our opinion. Our foundation isn't in an I think. Our foundation is in God's word. And we celebrate that, and we continue to stay anchored to it. I love the story of Robert Thomas. I've shared it with you before. It's a name some of you would remember, possibly, maybe not. Some of you will hear this for the first time. But Robert Thomas was a missionary who set sail from England to China back in 1863. And he just had this burning desire inside of him back then to get the Bible into the hands of those who lived in China. And he was doing that. And while he was there, he heard about the atrocities that were happening in Korea. And so he determined, he felt God told him, I want you to get the Bible in the hands of the people who live in Korea. They're really going through it. And at this time, Korea was really a hermit kingdom is how they described it. Pretty much cut off and isolated from the rest of the world. And my understanding is that before Robert Thomas went to Korea, there had only been one missionary effort to that country, and that was in 1866, a few years before that, the late 1700s, that some Catholics went there and started some churches, and there was a number of converts to that. But in 1866, the government wanted to squash any kind of religious movements. They had 8,000 people killed like that. These are some of the atrocities that were going on back then. So Robert Thomas made two trips to Korea. And the first one lasted 4 months, and he had lots of Bibles, and he went around and distributed those. And his second trip, however, in 1866, the same year that those 8,000 followers were killed, that same year, it would be his last year as well. The accounts of what happened on that one fateful day that he died vary, but what we do know is this, that he was on a merchant trip, a ship, loaded with crates of Bibles, and he had hitched a ride with them. This is a ship that tried to establish some trade with Korea. So they were heading up the river towards Pyongyang, and they were warned, stop it. And they ran aground in the river, and they got attacked, and the ship was set on fire. And this is where some of the stories, little different accounts of it, but here's one of them. As the ship was coming under attack, it was being burned, there were reports that Robert was on deck cracking open cases of Bibles and chucking them to the shore, throwing them out in the water as far as he could, hoping they would drift to shore. And then his clothes caught on fire, and so he jumped overboard and swam to the shore, where he was confronted by a soldier. And the story goes that Robert was trying to hand the one last Bible to that soldier, and the soldier killed him instead. And that's how he died. Most of those Bibles got destroyed, but there were a few that were taken in secret. One of them was taken by a government official who took the Bible home, and over time he began to tear pages out of it and stick them to the walls of his house. And after a while, neighbors and others were lining up at his house to come read his wallpaper. Not the Bible, the wallpaper. And even though it was very small, a little flame began to get fanned. By 1905, there was a revival in Korea. It was part of the Great Welsh Revival that became known as the Great Pyongyang Revival. And many Christians exploded out of that, and a lot of churches. And that's where Christianity really began to explode. And by all accounts today, South Korea is the most Christian part of Asia. And some of the largest churches in the world are there. And my understanding, I've been told that just about all the Christians in South Korea, they have heard the name Robert Thomas, and they know his role of bringing the Word of God to their country. The Word of God changed a country. Why? Because it is exactly what it claims to be. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul of spirit, joints, and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." We should celebrate that we're having a little biblical revival right here in our church family. Should celebrate that. We should celebrate the hunger for God's word. It's one of the many reasons why I know that everything's gonna be okay. It doesn't matter how stressful times may get, I know it's going to be just fine because God's word is alive and active. So we celebrate that. Here's a biggie that we should celebrate too, and kind of well want to focus our attention on the rest of our time together. I think we have to celebrate the most obvious moment of 2023 here at New Life, and that would be September 17th with the launch of the Highlands Campus. What an incredible thing that is. I don't even have enough time to do it justice today, but I just believe that we should acknowledge and we should praise the one who made it all happen, and that would be the Lord. And we believe that it was first God's vision that he put on our hearts. And I know it was his vision because as I look back over the last several of years and all the things that transpired to get us to where we are today, there were just way too many things that came to be and fell into place for it to be anything other than God's hand of blessing was on this whole project. I believe that the origins of this second campus came from the Lord himself, and it's been evident his favor has been resting on it. I know that God has been a part of this because the last 15 weeks has gone way too well for it not to be. Way too well. I want to thank you for being an amazing church family, because you know, a lot of churches can't do this. I'll just speak openly and honest with you. I know a lot of churches, I know a lot of friends that pastor churches that could not be open to this level of change and transition and vision. And I want to thank you guys for being an amazing, amazing church. As I look back on it, some of you, we've never really shared some of the details of all that went down, but essentially what we had was around 250 new lifers that went out there when we launched it. They were part of our launch team. A lot of them went out there because they live out that direction. Some of them went out there just because they were serving in significant leadership roles. Everybody has done something to get that thing started. And so it was really a great start to have that many people go over there. Of those, so started with about 250, and then on the day it started, we were overwhelmed by how many people have come. And as things have settled out now, we're kind of in our rhythm over there, we have had about 250 to 300 brand new people who we've never even knew before September 17th, who have now come and joined us in this adventure. It's really awesome. It's fantastic. Numbers are actually kind of hard to pinpoint because with a new church work like that, not everybody comes at the same time and not everybody, it's just hard to track. But as best as we can pinpoint, in these first 15 weeks, we have grown as a church family by over 300 people. 300 new people have joined us in the last 15 weeks. But again, I want to tell you, attendance is not what we're chasing. What are we chasing? Life change. New life in Christ. That's what we're chasing. That's what this is all about. And we're excited that God continues to send new people. So right now, the Highlands campus has seen a steady of attendance of around 500 people every Sunday. And sometimes way more than that. We've seen a huge influx in kids here at New Life, which has been incredibly awesome. When I go out to the Highlands campus, I see kids and families and all over the place. And if you look at your stat card, you'll see just what the increase in kids numbers we've had. And that is exciting. As far as kid ministry here at New Life, there are some really exciting things going to be happening in that ministry in early 2024. And I won't tell you about it right now. I'll share that with you in January and February. But you guys just, you know, watch your email list and pay attention. Some exciting things are coming down the pipe there. And we just thank the Lord for all of his blessings on that. So yeah, around 500 people, sometimes up at 600 people coming. And we've had all these new relationships forming and people getting involved. It's just been absolutely awesome. And that's why I go, God's in this thing. Because my feeling, we could not have gotten off to a better start with the Highlands campus and the Reardon campus. You know, it's kind of like we joked around inside the office. It's like we got to be real careful to not have this, hey, we got the new hot rod out west, and we've kind of forgotten about the old faithful minivan that got us there, you know. And, you know, and so it's like, you know, it's like we're not forgetting the Reardon campus. We talk about the Highlands a lot. But let me tell you, not only is the Highlands campus going well, man, the Reardon campus over here is going incredibly well. And we're seeing new faces over here as well. But have you noticed we have a little bit more of this lately? And we stopped running the shuttle because now that our services are spread out, we've gone from 3 to 2 and made some of those changes. We actually, you know, it's not like get them in, get them out. We need your parking spot. Get out of here. You know, it's changed kind of the whole dynamic, hasn't it? I give God the glory for all of that. Now, I say that to tell you this. I fully anticipate one day that we're going to be back to 3 services on Sunday mornings at both campuses. That would be a good thing. But in this little season here where it's 2, I'm just going to soak it up and enjoy and not shuttling. But I fully anticipate one day we're going to fire those shuttles back up. We're going to start to have parking problems all over again. And I know that you guys will embrace that just like you have every other time. But God is good. I'm just overwhelmed by how you all have moved into this season of, this new season of multi-site. One church meeting in multiple locations. There's a reason why a lot of churches can't do this and don't do this. Because it's challenging. I'm not going to say that we have arrived, and I'm not going to imply that we've done everything right. You ask anybody on this staff or any of our leaders, they'll tell you we got a lot to do. And we're still figuring out how to be a very healthy multi-site long term. But I know God will lead us just like he's done in leading us to find the land and the details of construction and implementation and new ministry rhythms. God will help us do all that. And I know you guys are on board. Now, I could stand up here and I could list off a long list of names of men and women from our church family who have played instrumental roles this year in helping us get that campus started. And if I did that, I would end up embarrassing most of them because that's not why they serve. I rub shoulders with these people all the time. I know them. That's not why they do this. They're not looking for accolades, so I won't stand up here and embarrass them. But there are a ton of people that it had not been for them, it would not have happened. I can promise you that. I can tell you that I do want to single out one person who would be very embarrassed that I'm about to say what I'm about to say. That's why I didn't tell him that I was going to say it. But I want to stand up here and I want to personally thank our executive pastor, David Brown. I don't even know if he's in here. I don't know. The reason I want to single him out, and he'd be embarrassed if he knew I was talking about him right now, is because he has done so much of the heavy lifting on this project. From the day of conception of this idea, through implementation and ongoing, I have depended on him for so much. His leadership when it comes to all the finances and the construction of that building, the mountains and mountains of paperwork involved, all the construction, legal documents, contractors, shipments, delays, this and that, you name it. I mean, he's done all that. And his leadership and all of that has really benefited me. And I, by default, I think has benefited you, because what that has allowed me to do is to stay focused on what God has called me to do here, which is to teach and to preach and to lead. And I just want to give him some recognition, although he's not searching for it. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a lot of statistics on churches and construction. And did you know that 60% of lead ministers resign after a major construction project? Did you know that? It's not a good statistic. And the reports about it are basically this: stress, fatigue, conflict, and breakdown of relationships during the project led to sad resignations. I don't know of very many lead pastors that have ministry gifts and also have gifts in multi-million dollar construction projects. I don't have that. But David has carried the majority of that so that I could stay focused on the preaching and teaching and leading of this church. And I'm really happy to share with you that I have not had mountains of stress or fatigue or conflict. And so as I come into the Highlands campus, I'm coming in hydrated and motivated and energized and ready to rock, man. And so I still feel that way. I still feel that way. And I thank David for that. And I also thank our amazing team of pastors, our awesome elders, our staff, our leaders, volunteers throughout New Life. I want to thank all of you who have given financially these last few years and continue to do so to see all of that come together. God has worked through each of you in 2023 to do amazing things. And most importantly, and the long-lasting part of it all, is that lives have changed for Jesus. We've been apart and we've seen entire family trees change for Jesus. And that's been awesome. So as we celebrate what God has done this year, we also kind of take a minute to celebrate and praise him for what he'll do next year. We feel like that what's happened this year is going to pay huge dividends in the years to come. And if the Lord chooses to be very patient like he's been in his return, then I hope you feel like I do, that we are a part of something that will outlast all of us. And the incredible things that have happened in 2023, which we are celebrating, that those things will continue to grow and they'll continue to build the kingdom long after we're gone. We say it like this. We hope that our children and our grandchildren and our great-great-grandchildren will all become followers of Jesus, and New Life Christian Church will have something to do with that, because it will still be around when all of us have already gone to heaven. That's what I hope and pray. That what we're building is something that will be kingdom-minded and Christ-centered and evangelistic for generations to come. And the hard work that we're investing right now will still be producing disciples long after we're gone. Friends, that's how you sleep at night. That's how you put your head on your pillow and you sleep well, because what we're involved in is a great investment into eternal things. You know, as we look forward to 2024, I don't know if you know this or not, but New Life will be turning 50 years old in 2024. Did you know that? Yeah. In the Old Testament, the Israelites called it the year of Jubilee. Are you familiar with that? The 50th year in the Old Testament was very, very special. And I believe that our 50th year will be the best one that we've ever had. I want to invite you to come back next week. I want you to join us for our first services of 2024. I've got some things that I'm going to share with you next week about the future of our church family, and I don't want you to miss it. I want to share with you what some of the spiritual priorities are going to be for us in our 50th year of existence, and I promise you, you don't want to miss it. I've just got some heavy things on my heart that I'm excited to share with you, and so you guys come back. So in closing, I just want to say this, if I haven't already made it clear, this has been an amazing year, and God gets all the glory for it. Amen? Amen. Amen. And the best is yet to come. So I want to leave you with this. Ephesians 3:20 says this, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever." Say with me, amen. Let me pray. Lord, we just give you great thanks for this day. Lord, we give you thanks, God, for what you have done. Lord, we know that you can do more than all we hope or imagine, and we are witnessing it in real time. So Lord, we just give you thanks. We're so appreciative of you. Lord, I pray that you continue to work through our church family. Lord, I pray that we will always continue to hunger for your holy word. I pray that our baptistry waters will be stirred, not just every week, but multiple times every week. That, Lord, I pray that more and more people will be drawn to you through the ministry of our church family. Lord, I pray this would be a year for the record books when it comes to disciple making, baptizing and teaching, growing, learning, discipling. Lord, I pray that it would be a year, our year of Jubilee, where so many things come together. And we give you praise in advance for it all. To you be the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.